can get ready here. Can light up the incense, the candle, and prepare to make the puja offering. So that at 8:15 exactly, we can start. So after today's class, we will break for 2 weeks. Because next week is Thursday, fall on Christmas Eve, 25th of December. Then 1st of January 2015 is again Thursday, so another holiday. So we will take a 2 weeks break so that you can also have time with your family to really enjoy the Christmas and New Year. We can start the puja. We will pay respect by chanting Namo Tassa 3 times. Homage to the Buddha, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. Then after that, we will pay homage to the Triple Jap. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Okay, we will pay respect to the Triple Gem. Bedang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you all can stand. Then we will start the offering. Okay, can leave the incense tray. Then rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Pass it down. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Pass it down here. We go around. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 You can come forward. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Sadhu, 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 sadhu. 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 Okay, so we have finished the offering, huh? We rejoice with all the wholesomeness and with all the generosity. Then with that, we will start the chanting. Huh? Have yourself seated. Turn to page 4 of your chanting book. We will chant the Vandana, then after that, followed by the refuge, the five precepts, then the puja offering. Okay. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami, tutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhabamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, we will now chant the Padipa Puja. Gannasarapaditena dipena tamadang sina diloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Ganda sambarayutena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana muttamang Vannaganda gunopetang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa siripada sarorohe pujemi bedang kasumenanena punena matena cha hotu mokang pupang milayati yatta idang me kayo tathayati vinasabhavang adivase tunobante paniyang parikyapitang anukampang upadaya patigang hotu muttamang sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, we'll pay homage to the triple gem, eh? Then we will end the puja. Bedang pujimi. Damang pujimi. Sanghang pujimi. Okay, thank you. Just relax your body and mind. Then be seated. Eh? Then we will start our meditation. Okay, today anybody who is first time here, totally new, nobody, yeah? Good. So if that is the case, we can maybe save some time, you can straight away go into your meditation. So I just summarize again what you need to do. Always remember, the focus of this form of meditation is to train your mind to develop the sati or heedfulness. To be heedful is very important because the heedless are as if dead. The Buddha make it very clear. And heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Means if you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. To be heedful got two parts. You have to train until your mind initially is ever mindful. Means not only is mindful, ever mindful, very stable in its mindfulness. Means this spiritual faculty, you need to develop that sati or mindfulness. And sati can only come about when you have the faith, sadha and the virya. Otherwise it will not become samasati, it will become something else. And chances are you will go into concentration, samatha, I know nothing. But if it's developed with the faith and the understanding of who the Buddha is and how wonderful his teaching is, then sadha will give rise to virya, the second spiritual faculty. Then it will drive you to cultivate. So our purpose here is to train this mind to be in sati. So to do that, the Buddha said, you have to check. If you still have the hindrance of mind that cause you to be heedless throughout the day, and when you come here, the reason why your mind is not peaceful, you cannot settle down, is because this hindrance, they hinder your mind from becoming peaceful. So you understand that what you have to do is, you have to cultivate the, what they call, opposite five spiritual faculty. That's why we had our puja for you to develop the faith, sadha. Then you have to contemplate and reflect at home on who the Buddha is, how special his perfection and virtue is, and the wisdom. Then how wonderful this Dhamma or his teaching is. Then from there, the faith become very stable, unshakable. Then it will drive you to meditate. That is virya. Then when sadha virya is very strong, you come here, you can cultivate your meditation. Because when there is sadha, your mind is calm and composed. But for some, they don't have this parami. They have not developed them. So what you need to do is, that's why I also introduce some skillful means for you to decondition your heedless thinking so that the hindrance can actually be reversed. The heedless thinking can be reversed through mind sweeping method. That's why you need to do the mind sweeping method because of your heedlessness. You do it. Then after that, you combine with metta. So when you do these two, you will develop calmness leading to inner peace, inner well-being. Inner peace and inner well-being is the beginning of meditation. The mind has to have this calmness, this inner peace. Then it has to have the inner well-being to keep you going. So that's how you train. Then after that, you need to stabilize this mindfulness. When you do the mind sweeping method, your mind becomes more quiet, more peaceful, where it just feels relaxed. It doesn't think. Can often like, yes. So those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start. They also need some explanation. I will continue the explanation. So once this mind develops the understanding of what you are required to do when you come for the formal meditation, then meditation becomes very easy. Means you meditate with understanding. So you need to train your mind, you train. You need to decondition the heedless thinking, you do it. So mind sweeping method combined with metta is the initial one. Then after that, you need to stabilize this silent mind or mindfulness that you have developed. The second step, you can use a skillful means, a method or a technique that you are familiar with. Then the Buddha recommended anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. So you just train your mind to be mindful of this in and out breath without thought. Just maintain awareness in front of your nostril. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. If you are not able to do that, if the mind wanders off, it's okay. Patiently repeat. Means develop attention in front of your nostril again. Be aware of whatever that is going on. Then you will detect the breathing. Then mind and the breath move as one. Without thought. And that is sati. That's why breathing in, the mind and the body move as one. The body is the breath body. So that mind in awareness together with the breathing move as one without thought. If you are patient enough, this anapanasati will develop. Then when you are mindful without thought, it becomes very stable. Then there is this peace within. Then it will develop into what they call a spiritual joy. You call piti. Then you continue to relax and allow it to be, the piti will stabilize and become more refined. Then later it can bring about a lot of joy, a lot of rapture, a lot of calmness, and you will like to meditate. Then remember to continue to relax into it and maintain awareness. Aware means silent without thought. When the mind is mindful without thought, it's very peaceful. Then you relax into it. It will transform, become more refined. That's how piti transforms into sukha. Then you continue to relax and allow it to be. Your breath will become more and more long breath until that mindfulness is very clear. Then when that mindfulness is very clear, this long breath will stabilize until later on, even the long breath will slow down until like little or no breathing. And when you reach that stage, it's very good. Means the mind is already more and more quiet, more and more peaceful, and more and more aware within. And it doesn't really need anything to hold this mind. then this mind will become on its own, tranquil, peaceful, and still. So you can continue to relax the mind, the body, and allow the breath to become so quiet, so still, then pasati will arise. Pasati is the silent mind, the tranquil, still mind. That is the meditative mind. So you need this mind to develop wisdom, to develop the understanding of the Dhamma. So earlier on I said, heedfulness, to be heedful, there are two parts. First part is to be ever mindful. And the second part is, after you have trained this mind, you have to use this trained mind, ever mindful state of mind, to live your daily life, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, to develop the three turning wisdom of the Four Noble Truths, leading to awakening, enlightenment. So ever mindful, constantly meditative, you combine these two training, it becomes apamada or heedfulness. So a heedful person is ever mindful to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, leading to the awakening, or the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which essentially is the Noble Eightfold Path. And within the Noble Eightfold Path, all the essential Dhamma and teachings are there, especially the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. So this is how you develop the understanding. So now I will allow you to do whatever that is appropriate. Those who need to decondition, you do the mind sweeping method. Then you combine with metta to develop inner peace and inner well-being. Then after that, you train your mind to be mindful and stabilize it through either anapanasati or any skillful means that you are familiar with. Then after your mind has reached the state of pasati, you just silent everything, no need to do anything. Then you allow it to stay at the heart. Then when you can feel any vibration or any of this, what they call prominent point within your heart area, it can arise in the form of, like, initially the heartbeat. Initially this heartbeat may be a bit gross, but as you maintain awareness there, as the mind continue to relax and silent, so this heartbeat will become very, very refined. It will become more and more quiet, more and more peaceful, until finally, like, little or no movement at all. But initially, your awareness, because it has reached a state where the mind has entered sati, so this mind that it has already developed the sati is already mindful. Wherever the mind is, it will be aware of all the phenomena that is there. But if you can reside at the heart, it's easier to meditate, because this is where the heartbeat arises and passes away. This is where your life force arises and passes away. This is where the seat of consciousness arises and passes away. This is the beginning and the end, and this is also where the gateway is. So you silence everything and just relax and just maintain awareness of any vibration or heartbeat, then this mind will stabilize on its own. Then you will become very, very quiet. Then that general spacious awareness will have the ability to understand how you function as a human being, how the five aggregate of form and mind come to be, how the physical body with its five physical sense combined with the mental, the six sense, how upon contact consciousness come to be, then how through your views and opinion your mind react and stir to all mental phenomena. Then you start to witness through your silent mind in meditation all of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha talked about. The essential Dhamma are all related to mind. The five spiritual faculties, the five mental hindrances, the dependent origination, the four noble truths, the three evil roots, seven factors of enlightenment, the four foundations of mindfulness, all this, they are all within the mind. So when you maintain silent inner peace and inner awareness, the silent mind is capable of developing the understanding and the wisdom. Then you will understand clearly who you are, what you are. Then with that understanding, you can awaken. Then no more delusion, self-delusion, no more. The key to meditation is to develop the silent mind to insight into all phenomena, their universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self. In Pali, the Buddha called it anicchaṃ dukkhaṃ anattaṃ. So this insight into these three universal characteristics is very important. It can only arise through a gradual training. You need to combine this with your daily life. That's why daily mindfulness is key. You have to be heedful throughout the day. If you are only heedful when you are meditating in a retreat or a meditation place in a formal posture, then it's of not much use. Because when you go out into life, when you return to your daily life, if you cannot be heedful, the Buddha said, you are as if dead. The heedless are as if dead. So heedfulness is very important. Heedfulness need to be developed. Then it need to be maintained throughout the day. Yeah. Initially is your waking moment. Then later on, even into your rest time and so-called sleep. Okay, with this, I will let you meditate on your own. Then I will ring the bell after about 10 minutes time. Okay. as I still want to meditate, you can slowly, mindfully. Oh, sorry, for those who still want to meditate, you can continue your meditation. For those that are now, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. So now we will do the invitation or invocation of the devas. Turn to page 6. I will read to you all the English translation. Then after that, we will get Sister Amy to help us to chant. Where is the mic? Oh, pass the mic back to Sister Amy. Okay. Invocation to the devas. In the universe in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Okay, Imbi, you can start.
Samantha Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Saggamokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sukato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditatbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chattari purisa yukkani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo, pahuneyo, dakineyo, anjali karaneyo, anutarang punyang hitang bukasati. Okay, tonight we will chant the Paticca Samuppada. You turn the next page. Page 8. avijja paccaya sankhara sankhara paccaya vijnanam vijnanam paccaya namarupam namarupa paccaya salayatanam salayatana paccaya passat passat paccaya vedana vedana paccaya tanha tanha paccaya upadana upadana paccaya bhava bhava paccaya jati jati paccaya jara marana soka parideva dukkha domana supayasa sambhavante evam metasa kevalasa dukkha kandasa samudaya hoti avijaya eva asesa viraga nirodha sankhara nirodho sankhara nirodha vijnanam nirodho vijnanam nirodha namarupam nirodho nama rupang nirodha salayatana nirodho salayatana nirodha pasa nirodho pasa nirodha vedana nirodho vedana nirodha tangha nirodho tangha nirodha upadana nirodho upadana nirodha bhava nirodho bhava nirodha jati nirodho jati nirodha jara marana soka parideva dukkha domana supayasa nirujanti evam metasa kavalesa dukkha kandasa nirodha hoti sadhu sadhu sadhu. Can you pay homage to Sakyamuni Buddha? Mindfully pay homage to Sakyamuni. Okay, thank you. So now we can start our Dhamma sharing. Oh yeah, tonight maybe we get Mi Fong there. Those who went to Wat Na Long, I was told they got a very good retreat down there. So maybe we can get them to share. Mi Fong first. Is Alan around? Oh, Alan didn't come today. Alien also not around. Oh. he shared a little bit with me. He said, I think something like that, he said, whatever the monk teach is very familiar. He said, sound like what I have shared. That's what he said. So maybe now we get Mi Fong to share with us.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about Lian, but I think Ellen is continuing her retreat at home.
Oh, sadhu, very
yeah,
good.
just to continue the momentum.
Yes.
It I have been to Wat Na Luang a couple of times. This is the best so far.
Sadu.
on the wholesome actions part, first of all, when we collect the donation, actually we just limit it to people who have been to Wat Na Luang. But the response were overwhelming. We actually, the Malaysian group, offer dana for like 12 days.
Wow, sadhu.
So each, which means for each day we offer dana for the whole monasteries.
Sadhu.
Yeah, it's
very good, very wholesome.
Very wholesome. Yeah, like Sister Ng B, and these are mainly from the fund that we collected. From some of the friends here, but also for those who have been to Wat Na Luang, have meditated there, and their kindness and their generosity. So, for the sake of like Sister Ng B and some of you who have contributed, I just want to briefly share my joy. It was an exceptional experience kneeling there, seeing monks, practicing monks. There were like 100 over, I think Suyan counted.
Wow, sadhu.
Yeah, 100 over monks that...
it's a very big community.
Walk barefooted, single file, mindfully, to come and collect their food, followed by the nuns. And then the yogis, it was a very, very joyful and wholesome experience kneeling there. Seeing that we did that for 12 days, I don't know. And for the other days that when we don't do dana, we join the nuns and we walk barefooted too, to collect our food. They call it pindapat, but we actually collect the food from food laid out on the tables. We also donated to the nuns. A big sadhu to all, everybody who have contributed. The nuns were so touched, and let me specifically say that I may not have realized before, but this time around, I actually see some of the kutis that some of the nuns stayed in. Some of them has no electricity. Like one old nun was cooking using steel charcoal stove, and they were very thankful. We donated to the nuns, each one with ang pao, and also some of the upasikas who stay there permanently. And at least one of them actually cried. And we also shared some of the food we brought, because we actually brought biscuits and noodles, instant noodles, with, like, for example, one nun who was so old and hunchback, and so on some days she couldn't go out to collect food, pindapat like us. And she was so thankful to us that we brought some food for her, that she just wanted to give us something in return. Actually, many of them, though they are poor, they really want to like kind of give us something back, like even though just a pack of a drink. And this nun specifically gave us a white knitted hat, because it was very cold. It was really very cold in the morning. I don't know, it's probably like 14 degrees C or whatever it is. And I remember Brother Teo told us before that even though you may not need whatever they gave, whoever gave, but rejoice in it. And that's the way we kind of allow this wholesomeness to go on. So even though I actually have two of this white hat, I take it from this old nun. And the thought that came into my mind that time was Sister Ng B might need one. So actually, and she was... Initially, I wanted to say no, but I took it, and you can see, the joy on her face. So there are a lot of incidents like that that is just very joyful, very wholesome throughout. Now to Long Po's sharing. We had all in, for us who stay back, think about 7 sessions, each session about 1 hour plus. And it was translated by a German monk. He told Xuan that he spent like 8 hours just to translate about 1 hour of Long Po's Dharma sharing with us. And this time is very unique, very different from our other visit. Long Po just straight, the very first Dharma sharing, said that he's not going to talk about Theravada, Mahayana, and he's just going to directly to the essence of the Buddha's teaching, and he started with Four Noble Truths. Yeah, just like what Bharatiya had always been sharing with us. He goes straight to the Four Noble Truths, and subsequent sessions and all, he just shared with us the direct path to Nibbana. And it was much later that some of the Thais that were there told us, or in fact, John Visudo told us that whatever he had shared with us, he doesn't share that depth of Dharma with the lay people. And that's the Dharma that he shared with the Sangha members, his Sangha. I really have to thank Brother Teo for this, for the 10 of us, especially for the 5 of us who stay back. Long Po actually said that he can see that the group has very good intention, very attentive, and the time is right. And I think Brother Teo has prepared us very well. All of us keep thinking about Brother Teo when we were there. Yeah, complimentary. And if we can comprehend that much, it is all because we have learned from Brother Teo. And this is really from the bottom of my heart.
Mm.
And from all of us.
Yeah.
Especially the 5 of us. And there are some of the sharing that were profound and beyond our comprehension. And it is actually for Aryas that are in either Sakadagami or Anagami.
Yeah.
And we suspect, we suspect it is probably also for the translator. But in conclusion, what we understand is, it is a very valuable sharing, and is the path, to the stream, and to Nibbana. Of course, there are lots and lots of detail.
I add a little bit first because you have to understand these people who has the Dhamma, they have a nature, they can sense, and they will know. They will speak according to the condition there and then, and their nature know. And the Dhamma that come out is not from the thought, it's from the heart. That's why that one will share. And when that one share, it's because before they go. Actually, you may not know. As Kayal Mehta, you are really serious like those who really develop the understanding, then develop the diligence, the faith, and cultivate. Your parami is very different. Huh? And just because we know what to do every time we share merit, transfer merits, then all of these sessions, they are so wholesome. The devas, the Dhamma protectors, and all those higher beings, cultivated, you know. Then this would somehow spread on. So if you go retreat or spiritual trip or what, those beings there, they know one. Mm. And they actually prepare. Really. Then when they are there, everything will fall into place. Huh? Yeah. Weather, everything. Then Long Po will know how to share. Yeah. Then the Dhamma that come out will be very different. There's a certain time, certain sharing. Like I used to tell you all during the early day, I'm not supposed to share one, but because the condition there and then, somehow it just came out. Then later the nature know, the one that are human, they can't understand much. It's mainly for the non-human and higher beings. But their case is different. They can understand. Yeah. So that's why the sharing went that way. Then not only Mi Fong and that group had that understanding and experience. In fact, many Kayana Mitra now has. I just received one. I read to you, you understand. No need to mention name. Eh? This one was just sent to me just now. He said, "Hey, Bradio, I'll be missing your class again tonight. Cause moving in car at Tropicana City Mall. I just came back from Laos. I think they went to Long Prabang. Beautiful experience and insight," he said. "With your guidance and sharing, I really benefited a lot in my cultivation and leading to all the realization of the Dhamma," he said. "Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu to you. You really have done well," he said. Metta. So those who understand, they will know, because the essential teaching, they center around the same Four Noble Truths. From the Four Noble Truths, everything spin off. So when you have that base, that foundation, that clarity, anywhere you go, people can understand and feel you, especially cultivators. Then you were actually like Vichana, like the incense, the fragrance of this incense. They were spread far and wide. They represent your virtue. Understand? Your virtue and your understanding, they are like this fragrance. They spread far and wide. So people can feel you. And the way you conduct yourself, you're not only very mindful, you are very natural. You are very different. And those who are really, who has the Dhamma, they will know, they will sense you, they can feel you. That's why Dhamma is very, very beautiful and very unique. And you will have a lot of joy when you have developed the understanding and when you have developed the penetrative, deep penetrative awakening. There is so much joy. And that thing can drive the cultivator, motivate them, and really transform them. The way they approach the cultivation, the practice, is totally very different. That's why I rejoice when I see all this. This is your best gift to my nature. So the other thing is that Mi Fong share is very good. Whatever little offering people give to you, you should rejoice first. Because that is from their generous heart. They really want to offer. So even though sometimes the mind is very funny, "Ayo, this thing I don't need one." But you must understand, no? Sometimes this one can give a lot of faith and confidence to people. Then when you know you are worthy of offering, when you rejoice in such wholesomeness, the merits is very different. Understand? Then when you have the Dhamma, and when you understand, when you rejoice, you inside, through your silent mind, you already send back the blessings. You already invoke the power of this wholesomeness. Asana. May there be causes and conditions for this being to maybe whatever as pure wish that you want to help that being, depending on that condition, circumstances then. So all this is part and parcel of the cultivation. That's why it's very rewarding when you develop the understanding and you cultivate properly. initially, of course, you find it so difficult, try so hard, yet no result. I remember last time before tried very hard, I can see. And every time, even in certain retreat and spiritual trip or what, as she transforms and as she progresses along the path, you see her changing. Then there is so much joy now, so different from the early days. Early days, like, she got a sense that, like, she very childish, like, everything also very difficult to understand. Then, like, not clear about the whole thing. But the last 5 over years has done a lot of good things, especially to all the Kayanamitas, those who have the faith. You move very fast because the condition is there. Then you have your past, you have your parami. The only thing is you don't have the understanding now. But for those who connect, they will have the understanding very fast. And there is a lot of gratitude, a lot of joy. Then their faith become very strong, unshakable. Then they will cultivate. The best moment is when you finally connect. Then when you understand what this heedfulness is all about, what sati is all about, and how you can develop the wisdom, the understanding and the awakening through that daily mindfulness practice. That's why when they are at Wat Na Long, I told them, you silence your mind, develop the spiritual faculty, need to bow, develop mindfulness throughout, and be heedful, aware. Just contemplate, reflect, cultivate. Especially the four foundation of mindfulness and the Noble Eightfold Path. If you have that condition there, and Wat Na Long is a place where there are a lot of forest monks, a lot of beautiful beings too. The energy there is already very good. So if you know how to actually silence your mind, you tap and draw very fast. And your nature will know. Like every day, there is so much joy. The nature is so full within. Then when you listen to Dhamma with that state of mind, with that faith, with that parami, you will receive. And the way you receive is very penetrative. Very, very penetrative. Then there are many, many moments where you can really have a lot of joy. Because these are the Dhamma where you cannot see under normal circumstances. But because of your training, your hard work, your diligence, your faith, the condition there, then you make use of it. Then you have the condition to connect and develop the understanding. And this understanding will be with you. It will never go off anymore. But you need to slowly stabilize it. Then develop the very clear understanding of it. That is the friction part. Then when you go through that, that understanding develop into wisdom, which is very, very stable. Then later on, you will be able to have the energy to share, to express it out. To benefit others. Initially, of course, the cultivator, the 5 aggregate of form and mind, that 5 aggregate of form and mind that is connected with the understanding and the wisdom, it will know. But initially, because it's not stable yet, so sometimes they cannot express what they know. This one need contemplation, reflection. You need to go into life, interact more into life. Then you start to see the Dhamma within your daily life. Then the mind that has this clarity, because the spiritual faculty has become so different. Or just now, we forgot what they call the chanting of the offering. The last page, I think we missed it out. I think we better do it. The condition is, you have to do it. Because that aspiration is very important. Then you can actually include later on, not only this merits of offering, your cultivation, your precept that you keep.
Brother dear, can I just finish?
Can. Okay. You finish all your part first. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I have this strong feeling that both Longpo and the abbot, which is another monk, can just see us through like a paper. And the first time we met the abbot, which is actually before the retreat, and he said this, that it is very good for us to come to want to improve ourselves spiritually. But he said, as long as we have stillness, now this is translated into English, as long as you have stillness in your mind, in you, the Dharma will always be with you, even if you are back home. And that really struck me. Yeah, and yeah, you know, practicing.
Sadhu, yeah. The stillness comes from the silent mind. If the mind cannot be silent, it cannot be still. That's why tranquility, stillness, paucity, that is the meditative mind. Paucity is a free mind, understand not? Samadhi may not be a free mind. It can be a continuous mindfulness type of conditioned state. But when wisdom develops, then upeka arises. Upeka type of samadhi is not a conditioned state. Upeka type of samadhi is born of wisdom. So that one very, very important distinction. Thank you so much. We will sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We will do the aspiration first before we forget. Turn to page 18. Okay. We will develop this simple aspiration by invoking all of the power, understanding of the significance of all the various types of offering. The significance of offering of light, we chant together. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. Now, this is the one that I mentioned just now. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Then the significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Then we will make the overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. So this aspiration is very powerful, very important. So you constantly invoke power of merits, not necessarily only the puja offering. because this is tailored towards the puja offering. Eh? But when you are in your retreat, you modify this. You say, by the power of all this wholesomeness that you have developed through your cultivation, through all of the Dhamma activity, like listening to the Dhamma, straightening your views, rejoicing, keeping of the precept, paying respect to worthy ones, then you develop all the meditative training. All of the wholesomeness, the ten meritorious action, together with your cultivation, your heedfulness, they will bring forth great merits, great blessings. So you invoke by the power of all this wholesomeness, merits and blessing, born of all this cultivation and offering. May our spiritual, if you use it individually, you can say, may these natures, spiritual faculty, of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya, be further strengthened until they become balas. Then if you want to make it very, very firm, you say, may this nature's spiritual power, whenever it arises in any existence, the Saddha, Virya, Sati and Samadhi, Panya, be further strengthened until they become unshakable, balas. So this type of aspiration can help you to develop the causes and condition to accelerate the stability of the five spiritual faculties. Spiritual faculties are very important. They are actually enlightenment factors. And spiritual faculties, when you develop them well, it will have this ability to understand spiritual teaching very easily. That's why they are called spiritual faculties. So when you develop it until they become unshakable, then you definitely destined for enlightenment. Unshakable in the sense that it can never deteriorate anymore. It has become very, very stable. Then when you have that, the hindrance of mind can never arise again. That's why the Arya, they know, especially those who understand the Dhammanupassana cultivation. The first category of Dhamma that you cultivate, the Buddha mentioned, is that we have to be mindful of the five hindrances. So this mindfulness will allow you to understand how the unarisen hindrance come to be. Then when later on, through your silent mind, how it is, you will understand how the arisen hindrance come to exist. Then later on, you will come to know how in the future this unarisen hindrance will not arise anymore. Well, by then your spiritual faculty is already so established, so stable, and your wisdom already so penetrative. That's why it can never arise anymore. There is no more delusion for it to arise. There is no more heedlessness. The mind is already different. So this particular aspiration can bring forth the condition for awakening. Then the last one, we'll share and transfer merits to all beings, without exception. We chant together. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Oh, we are still early, 9:30, we still got 1 hour to go. Oh, very good. So, Mifeng, you got any more to add or not? Ah, that's all, for the time being. We wait for Alien and Alan to come back. I really rejoice with all the wholesomeness. Because now, it's very different. Like I told you all last year, when I felt, the nature felt, that the Dhamma will flourish for Kayanamitta this year. And really, it happened. And I was so surprised that it moved at such a fast rate, such a fast pace. Because the faith really make big difference. When the faith is there, it will drive you. And nature knows that this thing is needed. That's why we got this Sumero thing that lead to all the Buddha Rupang. And then the chanting book, the transcript. Everything one by one, it just fall into place. And I can tell you, 2014 is such a fantastic year. Not only for me. For me, you know, we went through the birthday celebration and your what they call Kayanamita gathering. 3 things very auspicious happened, but there are many, many other things. Because it so happened that it coincides with my 10 years of Dhamma sharing. Okay? Then it also marked the what they call 60th birthday of this former Pai. Then also it was exactly 25 years since the day I understood the Dhamma. So these were the conditions that actually manifested. Then also because of Kayanamita, the Kayanamita, you have your actually past, but many of you do know. When your faith is there, when you are really, really determined and your faith very strong, your spiritual faculty develop, you will connect. And when you connect, you will be very fast. The other guy that later on when he come back, you wait for him to share a song. He is in Burma. I tell you, when he come back, this trip he will be so different again. Because it so happened, 1 or 2 months before he went, he got connected. Then that 2 months, like he said, his thinking mind cannot understand. The mundane mind cannot understand what happened. He was so much joy. He keep on sharing with me. Initially, he checked with me. Then he keep on laughing and said, "Why like that one, Brother Teo?" He said, "This mundane mind cannot understand one, and the thing that happened so different on this." Then he said, "Now I understand why, Brother Teo, last time every time said thought-based meditation cannot lead you to the awakening." He said, "All those people they are doing." After he connected and he understood, he realized all those things that he was doing, they were doing were all thought-based. Then later on, so many things happened to him, the nature, everything. Then the Dhamma keep on unfolding. He keep on understanding. Then he keep on asking me, "Why like that one?" I say, "It's like that one. Yeah, that is the way the Dhamma is." Then he got so much joy. Then so many things that before it happened, I already told him. Is it? I said, "You will pass through all this. Then you will develop all this. Then you will have all these experiences." And really, all those things unfolded, and he was so full of joy. Then when he went to Ermeisan, remember that trip? He connect again because he got a lot of affinity, very strong affinity, Pusen, Bodhisattva. You remember at the summit, Jingting? He told me that he at first, the thought tell him, because it was like cloudy, very cold and drizzling. So he was standing there. Actually, the thought tell you, how to kneel, is it? So dirty, this place, is it? Wet somehow. The moment he say that, after that, the legs start to vibrate. Then the mind becomes so different, suddenly, right, still. Then it just kneel by itself. Then that nature inside actually reacted. And he was like crying, but actually it's not crying. Later on he told me, he said, "Oh, right, really, exactly like what you told me." Is it? Despite all those things that happened, like he was like, "You don't understand, even that Mr. You remember? Yeah? The one that took us there, one, Mr. You know what he said or not? At first he thought he got problem. No? He came and talked to me. He said, Mr. Teo, you think need to talk to Song or not? He said, he looks miserable. He said, I said, no problem. Mr. I said, this is normal. He will be okay. Then after that, he told me, he said, despite all the thing that is happening, the awareness, the sati inside the nature was so clear. No, is it? The one at the back commenting, he also can hear. Then Ke came and talked to me. Every word I say and Ke say, he also fully aware. And all the thing that happened around there, he fully aware. And he was sobbing and like crying like anything. Really, you don't know, you thought something wrong with him. Very loud and like very full of tears and all this thing. But that is the way that the mind is, because when it come out, because all those who went to spiritual trip and they connect, they are like that. Last time, Uthai San also same, Honorable Amita. Wow, the way it happened. Very, very strong. Then it's like, you don't understand, it's like a lot of emotion inside there. No, it's not emotion. That nature inside just respond. And the tears just keep on flowing. There was no emotion. There was a lot of clarity and a lot of joy, and it just get connected like that. Then it knows it has to pay respect. Then he has a lot of gratitude towards Pusian and everything. That's why that crying, that deep gratitude. Like when you have very strong gratitude, the nature react and then come out and just cry the tears. Like it has been a long time. So all this is what Dhamma is all about. But when you cannot understand, you use your thought, you will interpret it differently. That's why thought cannot understand spiritual things, because the Dhamma is beyond thought. Beyond time, akaliko. Okay, with that, maybe we will open up for meditation, reporting, and Q&A. Anybody wants to report their meditation and ask any question, you can make full use of the situation. Anybody? Nobody. yes, pass the mic for the recording. Where's the mic? Oh, bring it back from the back. Mi phone there. Bring it back. Yeah, pass it forward. Yeah. Push it up. On already. Yeah.
Eriko.
I know.
Still on the question of the connection to the Buddha Dhamma. But over this 2-3 years of cultivation, I still cannot find that connection with the Buddha.
Don't worry. Be patient.
Is there a way, a skillful mean that, you know, can
there is,
I cultivate to that?
It all come back to the Dhamma. You see, your question is very good, because you heard about connection and all those things. So connection got many meaning. First is like what you mentioned just now. You want to connect back to the Triple Gem. That's why you take refuge. It will set the condition for you to connect. Your refuge is very important. That's why we chant Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. What is the meaning? To the Buddha, I go for refuge. Why do you go for refuge? Why the Buddha? Then, the second of the Triple Gem is, to the Dhamma, I go for refuge. That's why Dhammang. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Then Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Then last one is, Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. This nature goes to the Sangha for refuge. Why do you take refuge? You understand why you take refuge or not? As a Buddhist after so long. Why do you take refuge? Why do you chant all this? And not one time, no. Do tiyampi, then tiyampi. No? So the second time you go, third time you go. Why every day you do that? If you do without understanding, then it may not help you much. But when you do with understanding, when you chant Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, means you understand that the Buddha is so unique. Understand not? His perfection, his cultivation, his teaching, they are so beautiful. And it is within the Buddha that you can find the teaching. Understand not? Because without the Buddha, there is no Dhamma. But the Buddha is a fully enlightened one. He is perfect in wisdom and virtue. That's why he will have the teaching. So that is the reason why you go refuge with the Buddha. Means you cultivate refuge. You seek permanent refuge. You take refuge so that you want to develop the condition for you to connect every time when there is a Samma Sambuddha that arises. If you also arise because you have taken refuge, you will connect. Understand? Then the Dhamma is also same, the teachings of the Buddha or the truth, nature's truth, that governs all of life and existence. So you take refuge with Dhamma. Wherever there is this truth, you will connect. Then the Sangha refer to the Aryan Sangha, the enlightened noble disciple of all Buddhas, not only Sakyamuni. They also have the Dhamma, otherwise they cannot become enlightened. So if they have the Dhamma, if you take refuge, you create affinity, you will meet up with them. That's why you make aspiration after your puja, after your session. Imina punyang kamina. You invoke the power of merit, this punyang. Then you invoke for causes and conditions for you to always avoid the foolish, meet up with the wise and the enlightened one. The enlightened one are the enlightened disciple of the Buddha that has the Dhamma, the Sammasambuddha, the Bodhisattva, and all those Aryas. They are all within the Triple Gem. So that is the reason why we take refuge, so that we can have the condition to understand this noble teaching, so that this truth can be cultivated, developed and understood. And the essence of it is the Four Noble Truths. So that's why the Buddha under Dhammapada verse, he said, there is no refuge safe except the Triple Gem. And the Buddha explained it very clearly. It's because only within the Triple Gem you can find the Four Noble Truths that can lead to the liberation from all suffering, that can lead to the understanding of life, the secret of life, everything. Without the Four Noble Truths, there is no way living being can awaken. So this is the reason why you take refuge. And when you take refuge sincerely with the faith, you will connect. So that is the first connection. That one you connect to your faith. Your faith will actually develop the spiritual faculty of Sada. It makes your mind very calm, very composed. Then after that, when you start to reflect and contemplate and understand how wonderful the Buddha is, how perfect his training is, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. You have a lot of gratitude, a lot of respect for him. Then that faith becomes unshakable. Then you know his teaching is so wonderful, can bring about enlightenment, liberation from suffering, can give rise to the noble life. So you determine to cultivate this understanding so that your life will be taken care of, so that your life will not have any more of this suffering and misery. So that's why that faith will bring forth the spiritual faculty of Sada, the condition that will condition the virya, that it will drive you to cultivate. And when you cultivate and when you develop the sati and the very stable, samadhi will arise. With sati samadhi, the spiritual faculty, you can see things as they are, wisdom will arise. then you can understand the spiritual teaching very easily. That's how you connect. Then your faith become very strong, your joy, everything. Then later on, your heart open up, understand not? That's how you must cultivate until your heart open up. Then the silent mind become very stable, the spiritual faculty. Then one day when the condition are right, fulfilled, it will connect. Once you connect to your nature, the form and mind will know. Because the form and mind, with the silent mind and the wisdom only can connect. Without the silent mind and the wisdom, it cannot connect. But the moment it connects, it's so different. Because it's like you get connected. Then you suddenly start to inherit all of your past training. The spiritual training or perfection that you have developed through your spiritual nature. Initially, you come to this world through your karma, karmic nature. You can never connect to your spiritual nature until you develop the spiritual cultivation. Just like Sakyamuni Buddha, when he was born a prince, all he inherited is the karma, the karmic nature. Then as a prince, he grew up. Then when the condition is right, time for him to renounce the world, he will leave the palace. Then for 6 years, he strived. That time, he was still a Buddhajana, lay person. But because of his past cultivation, perfection, and parami, the karmic nature is already so powerful, conditioned him to become what he is. So it's only at the age of 35, underneath the Bodhi tree, the Vesak, the holy Vesak, when he connects. That's how he inherit all his spiritual perfection. Then that Sambhogaya Kaya come in and combine with the form, the physical body, the Nimana Kaya, that perform the function of the Buddha. It transforms into Dhammakaya. Dhammakaya is the Buddha that speaks the Dhamma. Yeah. So the Sambhogaya Kaya and Nibbana Kaya, when they come together and combine, the form and mind connect and inherit all the spiritual understanding, the perfection, the spiritual nature, the wisdom, everything. That's how it becomes the Samasambuddha. Then it can preach, it can teach, it can share. Then you can say that form and mind is the Samasambuddha, Sakyamuni Buddha. That is that segment of the life. But that Sakyamuni Buddha, that form and mind, is not the Buddha, understand not? Because the Buddha is what? Embodiment of his perfection. He has a nature, understand not? And that is the real Buddha. All of the perfection. Yeah. That's why the Buddha is the perfection of all his great virtue and wisdom. All of his perfections. And the Buddha is not the statue, understand not? Not the flesh body that arises. Yeah. That's why he calls himself the Tathagata. But that form is Samasambuddha, yes. But that one is not him. That is only that life, that form and mind, that condition. So you're coming back to your question, Eric Goh. Yeah? It's very good. First, you connect to the Triple Gem by taking refuge, develop your spiritual faculty. Yeah, the whole of Dhamma cultivation is very clearly set out by the Buddha. You should listen to the Tuesday talk that I gave 2 days ago. It's in the my Kayanamita. I send it out for sharing. Then you can also download from your WhatsApp or Dropbox. I outline the whole cultivation process down there. Because many people don't have that understanding. It came about because somebody from Klang, I think, the Klang group, that Brother Gan, he in charge of Dhammaduta, he every time invite people for talk on, and he wrote to me. Then I saw the title. That's how the condition come about. The first one is in January, I think, coming next month. He wants me to share on the topic. Moment to moment cultivation. Then he sent one e-book, which I think they must have found quite relevant and interesting. Then when I read the e-book, I knew it is always like that one. where people cannot understand, so they thought mindfulness is like that. They thought that moment to moment, all things, the present moment, awareness, everything. So then the nature reflected. Then it has to actually bring forth this understanding. Where the condition is like that, you don't explain this, people get trapped in the words, like vipassana, jnana, all those things. So they are more interested in going to the retreat to do vipassana, I don't know. Then they get attached to the word moment-to-moment cultivation or mindfulness and all those things. But the whole cultivation is not like that. So, you have to start with the essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach. Then from there you gather the meaning of all this cultivation. How the Buddha actually teach. And then you realize it's so different. That's why it encompass everything. But whatever it is, it will have to start with the five spiritual faculties. Because human being, living being, has been heedless for too long. Understand that? Through your greed, hatred, and delusion, then it conditions heedlessness of mind. The mind that is heedless has the five mental hindrances. We already talked about it. The five mental hindrances hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner well-being, and inner awareness. That's why you cannot be peaceful. You cannot meditate. You cannot train your mind. You cannot be mindful. If you cannot be mindful, how can you be heedful? Impossible. So what must you do? That's why the gist of the cultivation is you must understand what are you doing in the name of meditation. So all this form of meditation, I've repeated many times, you must get this clear so that you know how to meditate. You come here to train your mind to develop sati and stabilize it so that it's ever mindful on yourself. Then only you take this trained mind, carry into the daily life to develop the wisdom, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. And to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, you need all the other essential practices. That's why starting with the five spiritual faculties. The Buddha teach you how to do it through the puja, understand not? And how to reflect through the anusati, Buddha anusati, Dhamma anusati, Sangha anusati. Then later on, the urgency through marana anusati, contemplation on death. Then on the impermanent suffering state, and on the three universal characteristics. Then after that, the Buddha said, this five daily contemplation is very important. Is also part of the cultivation for lay people, understand? Then this five daily contemplation actually is to develop the initial contemplative wisdom for you to straighten your view so that you can actually overcome the first noble truth, reality of suffering. Then this also is part of the second turning of the four noble truth. So that's why you go into his teaching, the first teaching that he gave to the monk, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Immediately after his enlightenment, after the 49 days or 7 weeks, he walked towards the five ascetics that were with him. Then he spoke this sutta, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, focusing on this Noble Eightfold Path and the Four Noble Truths. So this Four Noble Truths, the Buddha said, you have to turn it 3 times. The 3 turning of the Four Noble Truths to develop the 3 types of corresponding wisdom. Then after that, only Kondanya become a Sotapan, you remember? That is a general aspect of the teaching. From the Four Noble Truths, the 3 turning, all the other essential Dhamma need to come in and support. Otherwise, it cannot. That's why the second, what they call Sutta that he continued was Anattalakkhana Sutta. That's why you got time, I will share with you. The moment he spoke on Anattalakkhana Sutta is to break this sakkayadity, self-delusion. Immediately all the five become arahant. Understand? And that is how penetrative this Dhamma is. But for you to have that type of condition, you must have cultivated before in the past. Understand? Otherwise it cannot happen like that one. Because this monk has been with him many, many lives. Understand? To become his close disciple and all those things. So they already cultivated before. Then actually after that, the Buddha continued to set up the Sangha. Then more and more monks came, and more teaching arise. You know why or not? Because later on when the monks, they are more new, that don't have that parami, they are like before those disciples cultivate us or not. So they got a lot of questions. Also, this one how, that one how. That's how all the various sutta come about. So the essential Dhamma that you need to connect is, because the Four Noble Truths is very general, understand? The essential Dhamma talk about the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So from the right view, yeah, you develop that understanding of what is evil. Because the first right view is law of karma. So you know you have to train your mind to be aware, to be heedful, to take care of karma. And to take care of karma, you need to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind to develop the wisdom. That's how the advice of the Buddha come from the right view. So when you have that right view, avoid all evil is just word, no. What constitutes evil, you don't know. Understand? That's why the Buddha introduced what? The three evil roots. Understand? What are these three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion? In Pali, it's called Lobha, Dosa, and Moha. Then from this, he expanded it. Understand? Then, this three evil roots is very general. Understand? That's why later on, the other monk asked, then he come out with this sutta called Sabba Asavak Sutta. How to deal with asavak, defilements, anusaya and kilesa. So, Sabba Asavak Sutta actually go deeper into it. It subdivide kilesa into various type where you have to deal with it through different approach and understanding. That's why under the Sabba Asavak Sutta, which is in your note, you go back and read. Because we don't have much time. Maybe I will go through it again later. You go back and read. I just summarize it. The Buddha said, the most important criteria to cultivate is it, you must have right attention, is it? What is right attention? What constitutes right attention? The Buddha explain very clearly. He said, whatever you put your mind on, you pay attention to, you reflect, you contemplate, or you develop the thinking on it. If it leads to the unarisen asava or defilement arising, that is wrong attention. These are the things that is unfit for attention. When you attend to things that are unfit for attention, the unarisen defilement asava arise. The arisen defilement asava will become more and more, multiply, proliferate. And that is a very important criteria. But that is very general. Then he gives specific example. What other thing that constitute unfit attention? He said the thing that will give rise to the ego is unfit for attention, is it? Like people want to know who am I in the past, my past life and all this thing, is it? Was I this in the past? If I am this, have this ability or whatever? So all this, the more you reflect, contemplate and give attention to, it strengthens the ego, understand? The self-delusion, the clarity. Then you have this wrong view that will condition you go and believe, if I do all this, I will be able to become this in the future. I will take birth as this in the future. Then you have this craving for certain type of existence and all these things. So all these are, you say, things that are unfit for attention. Then there are also other things. In modern society now, I think you can think of many things. All those, like your thought projection, you project into the future and worry and develop fear, anxiety, all those things. These are all things that are not right for attention. Understand? Like I give you the example last time. Let's say doctor diagnosed we have disease, cancer or whatever. Then you go and project. You know? Then you go and create the fear, the worry, and then like, these are wrong attention. Why you go and allow the thought to proliferate and project into the future? And trigger all the fear, worry, and anxiety. Then you will ask the question, what happened if my boss come to know? What happened if my wife come to know? What happened if I cannot afford the medical bill? These are all not a reality yet, but your thought project, it trigger all what? Fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, sorrow, lamentation, all that. So these are unarisen asavak defilement. They have arisen. Then the one that is already there become worse. That's why you got a lot of this defilement coming out. The fear, worry, anxiety, the sorrow, lamentation, all this, they will continue. Then when you recall your unhappy past, it makes you fearful, insecure, miserable. So these are thought projection. Then you attend to certain things that are not conducive for the Dhamma to arise. It will lead to desire, lust, and all those things. Like nowadays, Achara Chalo also got mentioned, the internet. You go and check, it's a high percentage go to pornography site. So you put attention on pornography, you tell me whether the unreason asks about arise or not. Then the reason asks about become more and more fierce or not. You go and find out yourself. Then there are certain type of unsightly entertainment and what they call that's why the precept, the eight precept come out with what? Dancing, singing and what? Entertainment, and non-conducive type of entertainment. Because this will bring forth the unarisen defilement to arise. Then the arisen one will proliferate. Then they ask the Buddha, so what are the things that is fit for attention? You know what the Buddha said, or not? When you reflect on the Four Noble Truths, is it? On its tree turning, the 12 mode. This will give rise to Dhamma, wisdom. And it is fit for attention. Because when you reflect and contemplate on this, you got no more delusion. Then all this wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action cease to be. The unarisen asava, defilement cannot arise. The arisen asava, defilement cease to be. And this is the criteria. But this is very general, understand? It's very difficult to cultivate, very difficult to put it into practice. So the Buddha go into more specific detail, is it? Every day when we live our lives, our senses, our six senses are open. We see things, we hear things, smell, taste, tactile, feel, and think. And these are so fast, understand? That's why without mindfulness, without heedfulness, you cannot cope with life. You cannot understand what is going on. Because sense door conscious arise and pass away so fast. The conditioning happens so fast. Your mind moves so fast. And the heedless get entangled without awareness and doesn't understand what is going on. That's why they become very miserable. That's why the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead. No more spiritual life. So the Buddha said, if you have this type of situation, how are you going to actually develop the wisdom to bring about the wisdom, develop the wisdom to actually destroy all this kilesa or asava, anasana, or defilement? So he said, there are certain things when you come to experience through your senses. First, you must exercise restraint. Restraint. Got any more space to write? clean it up. Okay, the first one is you have to exercise restraint. Okay, we write it down. First one is right attention. things that are fit for attention. Then, exercise, restraint. Because we have already undertaken our training rule. We chant our precept. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadana samadhi. Means I undertake the training rule to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. So when you have this sense experience, when you see something, let's say you become angry, then you want to become violent, you want to act out of it, then your mindfulness will allow you to recall to mind that this is wrong action. So it will lead to the violation of precept, where you undertake the training rule not to kill and harm. That's why you have to exercise restraint not to do it. But this is not suppression. This is not trying to control and bottle it up. Restraint means through awareness, you know, based on the first right attention. These are not the thing I should attend to because my view is still wrong. I have to straighten this view. Yeah, I cannot accept him for what he is. Yeah, I perceive him as enemy, negativity, and all those things. So that's why you have to reflect and contemplate to develop the wisdom to straighten your view. Then you can exercise restraint not to do it. Like you have an evil intention to cheat, to deceive, to partake things that doesn't belong to you. If the mind is cunning, it will justify. This one okay one, they wouldn't know one. Then sometimes you work for a government. Akong one, never mind. So when your mind justifies and you cannot see, means what? You didn't exercise restraint. You allow your senses to develop the craving in you. Understand? You allow that craving, that greed to manifest. That's why you violate your precept. Because you already chant, no? I undertake the training rule. Not to steal, not to take things that doesn't belong to me. That's why after Panadipata is what? Adinadana viramani sikkhapada. But you didn't really understood the importance of precept. You only chant like parroting, understand? Because you never go into the understanding of it. Why did the Buddha say, every time all the precepts got viramani sikkhapada samadhi yami? This one means I undertake the training rule to abstain from what? Means if I undertake a training rule, means what? I train myself not to do it, understand? To do that, you must have mindfulness, awareness, heedfulness. That's why without heedfulness, you are as if dead. So this restraint without right view, without mindfulness, without the understanding of what precept, what constitutes evil, what are the evil roots, you cannot do it. So certain things you need to restrain. When you see something, hear something, or recall something, you have to straighten your view. Then after that, he said, there are certain things in life you need to endure. Understand not? That's why you have to reflect wisely. He always used the word reflect wisely. Reflect wisely. Without wisdom, you cannot break free. You have to reflect wisely so that you know how to exercise restraint. So that you know there are things that you need to endure. You have to endure. What are the things that you need to endure? Yeah? In life. Bodily condition, is that? Understand not? In your meditation, let's say after a long sitting, you develop pain, numbness, itchiness, and all those things. What can you do? You have to exercise what? You have to endure it, is it? But you don't endure with delusion, understand? You are not here to torture yourself, understand? You are here to train your mind to be peaceful in a relaxed state of inner peace, inner awareness. Why are you not doing it? Why are you forcing yourself into a rigid position and becoming miserable? Means you go to retreat to suffer. Because you are not supposed to do that, understand? Because you're supposed to come to retreat to train your mind to develop the condition for you to actually meditate. So if you don't understand, then you will not be able to develop it. So to endure means there are many things in life concerning this body that you have to endure. Like when the body is sick, the mind need not be sick. Means what? You got two choices. You endure the uncomfortableness or the whatever. That you know how to attend to it, you know how to relax into it, like pain or something, that it may lessen or go away. Then when you are skillful, it will not come and affect you. Then the other thing is, like, during sickness or injury, before medical treatment can arrive, before you can have the attention of people who can help you, you need to endure, understand? You complain also no use, because you got two choices. Accept the reality, endure and become peaceful, or react and become miserable. So there are certain defilements that you need to endure to free. Yeah. Then the fourth one is what? Proper usage. Proper usage is very important. This one refers to the monk. Yeah, this one was given to the monk. This one refers to the four requisites. So you have to reflect on their purpose and usage. The synergy and all those things. The Buddha's concept of monk community and the laities, the symbiosis relationship. Then that four requisite that has been offered, the monk or the bhikkhu must be worthy of offering. Means they must cultivate sincerely with the faith to develop the what they call parami, so that they have the what they call they are worthy of offering. Then you must understand the purpose of the four requisites. Eh? What are the four requisites? Yeah? First one is what? Food, shelter, robe, and medicine. Eh? So these four you have to reflect. You don't allow your delusion to actually create all the wrong view, the craving and all those things. You get attached to the offering, the rope, then you attach to the food, then it doesn't serve the purpose, anasana. Because this food, like we always contemplate, of course we rejoice with the wholesomeness and generosity of all those who have made it possible, then we invoke the power of merit to help them. Then apart from that, we should reflect clearly, this food is for us to nourish this body, so that it can support this form, so that it can help us to develop the cultivation. So it's not for beautification, not for craving and all those things. And then you partake with mindfulness, with awareness, with understanding. Then the medication also, to do away with that uncomfortable feeling, pain and all things. Then the robe is for you to cover your private part, ward off adverse weather condition, then from those what they call feeling that may not be comfortable when these insects or gladfly, everything that can come and disturb you when you are meditating in the forest, because in the ancient day there is no proper dwelling. So all this you will reflect. Then shelter is to protect you from an adverse weather condition. So when you develop this type of proper attention to four requisites, your mind develop right attention, understand? The unarisen asava does not arise. The arisen does not proliferate, it cease. That's how you cultivate slowly. Then the fifth one is what? Abandon. Abandoning all those. Abandon. Some they use the word removal. These are like your first two right effort. All the wrong thought, wrong action, wrong speech that has a reason, you have to abandon them. Understand not? Then later on, you have to arise the right effort to prevent them from arising. And to do that, you must be very mindful. You must understand that these are defilements. These are the things that is not fit for attention. Then you will know that finally you have to evolve on the contemplation of the Four Noble Truths, is three turning to develop the wisdom to straighten your view, so that you will not react to sense experience, understand? So So that your mind is always peaceful, calm, aware, heedful. Not like before, reacting, commenting, judging, emotional, fearful, insecure. That one leads to heedlessness. That's, heedlessness brings forth the five hindrances. Then the heedless are as if dead. That's why the mind that is not trained in this Sabbasava Sutta can never be heedful, can never be peaceful. They think a lot. They keep on arising, the defilement. Yeah. The unarisen asava keep on arising. The arisen one keep on proliferating. Then day in, day out, you continue with the heedless living. There is no way you can meditate. There is no way your mind can settle down. Then there is no more stillness or tranquility. Yeah. Wisdom can only arise in a silent mind when there is stillness within. That's why I have one teacher who told me this. It's very good. You listen. Eh? He said, in the midst of activity in life, where you have to do a lot of activity, there can be stillness. Cannot. Can you do it? When you are very busy throughout the day, you have to attend to your career, your family, your business, or whatever. Because there are so many things you need to look after in life. But can you do it mindfully, with understanding, with heedfulness within? Although it looks like you are very busy doing, but you are so mindful and aware that there is stillness within. Understand? So in the midst of activity, there can be stillness. Then in the midst of noise, all of the vibration disturbance, there can be silence. Can your mind have this silence or not? Let's say people very irritating. When you go for retreat, they go and talk, do all those things. Then they go and talk, they go and chatter. If you cannot accept them for what they are, means there is no silence within us. Your mind can be disturbed and it can still stir. Then it does not have the wisdom or the understanding. Yeah. Then stillness is when you are doing things, when you are actively doing things. That's why mindfulness can be very fast, but there is no movement inside. Understand? Just like when I share the Dhamma or whatever. Actually, I don't think. And inside here, no movement at all. How come it's possible? Because this one has transformed. It has become like that for so many years. So you don't ask me why. But before that, I was no different from the normal living being. The mundane mind, very active, think a lot, very heedless. Throughout the day, when I actually, after many years of meditation, when I suddenly heard from my teacher, the highest meditation, the real meditation, we choose aware every action, every movement in the present moment. Then I check. I realize if I'm not in concentration or continuous mindfulness throughout the day, I can be mindful only for less than 5 or 10 minutes. Then I realize I have yet to start the real meditation. That's why after that, I reverse the whole cultivation. I release the concentration, the anapanasati. I come out into daily mindfulness. Then I determine to be aware, mindful. That's how that whole of the cultivation transforms. Yeah. Then I have the good condition to connect back. Yeah. Where this is what your parami is, and you have done it before, very fast you will connect. Yeah. So, abundant. We have finished. The last one is what? Huh? Avoidant. Huh? You have to avoid. What are the things you have to avoid? Huh? The Buddha said, the heedless and foolish. Huh? Heedless and foolish. Then, the other one is what? Dangerous situation. Dangerous situation. He said, these are the things you have to avoid because this form of mind is very, very fragile, very vulnerable. As I know. Then this condition to cultivate is very limited. As I know. if you don't avoid the heedless and the foolish which you chant in your imina punyangkamina, you chant but you don't see the important and the significant, and you continue to join the heedless and the foolish, then the aspiration will not carry through on the sound, because you are like parroting. But when you determine and when you chant with understanding that this will lead to the avoidance of evil, the avoidance of situation that can bring about downfall. So these dangerous situation and places are like those areas that you are not supposed to go. Then dangerous in the sense that sometimes it can be a poisonous snake area, or a lot of what they call very dangerous cliff and all those things, or low-lying area where they are subject to a lot of flood and all those things. So you need to avoid. You need to avoid. Then the last one is, the Buddha said, if after you have done the rest, all the above, then you only need to develop the last one to take care of whatever defilement that is still there. Development. You have to cultivate development. Development of what? The seven factors of enlightenment. He said, if you do this, seven factors of enlightenment, then you are destined for enlightenment. So the whole cultivation actually is connected. Then when after you have done this, there is another sutta. There is another sutta after this one is. This one is Sabba Asava Sutta. Sutta. Oh, sorry. AS. Asava Sutta. Then after this sutta, the Buddha spoke the other sutta, Salika Sutta. Now this one is a very powerful sutta. The Buddha subdivide, instead of just this seven, the three evil roots, he subdivide into 44 mind state or evil mind state that you have to avoid. Evil mind states. Because in this sutta, it started off from Venerable Chunda. You know who is Venerable Chunda? Anybody know? Who is he? Sariputta's brother. He actually knew during that time a lot of confusion within the community of monks. A lot of cultivators, they think they already enlightened because they got the jhanas, eight jhana. So he asked the Buddha, what constitutes enlightenment? What leads to the real destruction of asava? Leading to enlightenment. Then the Buddha explained. So he described all the jhana, from first jhana to eighth jhana. He said when a monk meditate and develop calmness through applying the five jhanic factor, vitaka, vichara. Then after that, they develop what they call piti, sukha, then ekaganda. Then they develop this jhana. They enter the first jhana, When they enter the first jhana, they believe this is enlightenment. But the Buddha make it very clear, to the Aryan disciple, means the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, they know this is not liberation. This is not enlightenment. This is only abiding at ease in the here and the now, in peace, in joy. This is not liberation. Then he go on to the second jhana. Those who cultivate and able to abandon vitakka vichara, then develop concentration of the second jhana. Again, they think they already developed enlightenment. But according to the Aryan disciple, this is only abiding at ease in the here and the now, in peace and in joy, is it? Then he continued until the eighth jhana. Then the Buddha answered, what constitutes true enlightenment? The true, they use this word, effacement. Effacement is complete removal of defilement. Yeah. So the Buddha listed this 44, is it? Effacement can only happen, is it, when one kill and harm. You should cultivate non-killing and non-harming people. And that will lead to effacement, is it? Then he break all the five precepts, everything, expanded it on all the words, the three words, into 44. Yeah. He said, you cultivate all this, it will lead to the enlightenment, effacement. So, very likely, if I'm not wrong, this sutta come about because too many monks ask questions. So, in order to actually answer all, he gave a complete one, Salika Sutta. You go and read it up. This sutta is very long, very, very long. But the 44 evil mind states, they are all very clearly explained by the Buddha. But they are at the expansion of the three evil roots actually. But into all the various type of mind state that happened during that time, where the monk, they all, I think, must have experienced and asked him those questions. And all these are, they have words for it, you know. I believe it is all Pali words, but they translate into English. Then sometimes the English word, you find it very difficult to get the actual meaning. But the gist of it is, this type of cultivation that leads to the mind being more and more heedful, less and less heedless. You train your mind to develop the right view, the right understanding. Then you straighten your view. And this is how the cultivation develops. Then all this can only lead to the final enlightenment or liberation. So starting with the spiritual faculty, you go and develop the contemplative wisdom to straighten your view, the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. Then after that, you have to the five daily contemplation, the anusati and all this. So all these are contemplative wisdom. Then finally, you do the meditation, the third turning. That's like the four foundation of mindfulness, leading to the penetrative insight into the three characteristics of nature. That's how Anatta Lakkhana Sutta come about. So if you don't do all this, you hear the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, you may not awaken unless you have cultivated before in the past. But the moment you do all this and develop the understanding, your mind is very calm, very heedful, with the clarity, then the moment you listen, the condition, if it's conducive, appropriate, it will awaken. Yeah. Then it's just like what that monk told me for. Yeah? Wisdom will continuously arise in a mind that has stillness. Means silent. If it's not silent, it cannot awaken. It cannot realize. It cannot see things as they are. So the whole lot of cultivation is not just moment-to-moment cultivation, daily mindfulness. That word is correct, but before that, there's a lot of things that you need to actually develop the understanding. That's why it starts with faith, spiritual faculty, then the contemplative wisdom, the three turning, then the meditation. That's why the three phases of Dhamma are also the same, starting with pariyatti, patipatti, and then only the third phase, the beautiful phase, pativeda. Okay, so with that, I will end 10:30. Sadhu, sadhu. So now, as we end this year, you realize that the whole of the cultivation has actually evolved out beautifully, Anasana, so that you all understand. So that from now onward, with this understanding, anywhere you go, any retreat or any way place, you will know what to do. And when you listen, you will understand. If there is Dhamma, you will understand. You will rejoice. Yeah. If there is not much Dhamma also, your mind will understand. You will also smile and rejoice. Well, people are just the way they are. At different stages, they will cultivate differently. They will understand it differently. Then you will not be like not last time. Wrong lah, not like that one lah. My teacher don't teach like that one lah. You don't go and quote me and say, Brother Teo don't teach like that one or Brother Teo. You get yourself into trouble. And you create more negativity. Why do you want to create this type of thinking? Yeah, these are not things that are fit for attention. You might as well cultivate, develop heedfulness. Don't try to enter into all this unfruitful type of discussion, trying to be right. Understand? Arguing over Dhamma. What for? Based on our understanding of the sharing, like what I told you, or I said the three conditions is the most beautiful. Understand? First condition is no right, no wrong. Understand? Then we don't argue. Understand? We are here to share. Then whatever that is conducive for you to develop your training and your wisdom, use it. Anasara. If it's not conducive, have an open mind. Anasara. This type of sharing is very good. You don't have any pressure there. Then you can retain whatever method, technique, teacher, and all those things. Anasara. That's why you can go anywhere. Anasara. As long as you understand what you are doing in the name of meditation, as long as you have the Dhamma, you don't worry where you are. Your mind is always at peace. Yeah? No matter what the situation is, anywhere, any place, any time, that mind understand is at peace, peaceful. The mind that constantly wants to be right, you have to be careful. The mind that constantly wants to think from the egoic point of view, you have to be careful. Yeah? Okay? So, let's end this year with three loud sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I really rejoice with the condition and the good faith and progress of many, many Kayanamita. Really, it makes my nature feel very good. At least it's worth the what they call sharing. It's worth the what they call, I don't call it a sacrifice, it's like it's worth the effort. The time span, everything, there is value, there is meaning, because it can bring forth so much benefit, so much joy, and it can actually help so many living beings. Then from what you all have, your life changed. Your loved one all will feel you understand. Then they also can appreciate. And you can also bring forth the causes and conditions for them to develop the same understanding. But when they see you change for the better, your life becomes so like very, very blessed. Very smooth sailing. No more like before. I just take another 2 minutes. This evening I was with one Kayanamita. This afternoon having lunch. Then as we were having lunch, one lady walked by. This lady last time got a lot of problem on depression, everything. Then refused to like live life. Don't know how to make up. Very haggard and a lot of suffering. Over the years she has changed so deep. Marshall transformed so well. Then I saw her, I had a lot of joy. Yeah, I knew already. Then I smiled and waved to her. Then she smiled back. Then Gumoy was there. Gumoy saw. is that that girl? I said, last time came that time, like that, like that, like that. I said, this is the one with all the problems and depression. Now she is so cheerful and so confident. And dressed up a bit already. They're confidently walking around already. Last time, very, very timid, very fearful, a lot of sadness. Very, want to lock herself out. There are a lot of things go wrong. The karma, like everything, very soya. Kena snatch the accident, go into emergency, what everything. Parent got a lot of problems. And yet, the life change. Just transform like that. After she knows the Dhamma, then she has the faith. And later on, she keep coming. So now she normally go to Wu Ping Jing Se because Sunday she need to give tuition. Other day she need to give tuition. Sunday. Last time I used to attend Chebaka Saturday, then Tuesday at my house. And then now Wu Ping Jing Se. But since the last 2 years, she has become very different. So the Dhamma really can make big difference to one's life. You only need to have faith. Such a chronic case also can turn around. You so much better, you should be moving so fast with flying colors. Correct? So we should appreciate all this good condition and determine if people like that also can turn around. With all your good conditions so blessed, you should be able to move a lot faster. You only need to have faith. Develop the faith. That faith really has made big difference to your cultivation. But this is what I came to realize during my early days. I got very strong faith in the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha and my teacher. The teacher that I have affinity with, that I can receive the truth. I have a lot of faith. That's why after that I move very far. I listen to their words. It just went in. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer merit, then we end. Okay. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakhan tu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to departed relatives, and may they all to be well and happy. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo satukalena sasa sampati hito cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, now we will invoke the aspiration. Itmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Huh? There we end.
A lot of bush and planters and all that.